Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media.
You are fake news.
A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local Now for a Monday. I cannot tell you how impressed I was with the over 2,000 people that showed up for Wayne's parade, caravan, call it what you will. But it was amazing. Metro Police Department Captain Warner George said the police estimated 980 cars was participating. Most cars in the outlet parking lot appeared to have at least two people inside. So you figure 1,800, maybe 2,000 people. What an incredible, incredible event. And it was just what it promised to be. It was a bunch of people driving down Las Vegas Boulevard. Many of them turned around and then drove the other way. And that's essentially what it was. And it was a protest. It was a demand that we want the Nevada economy re-energized. According to the RJ story, addressing reporters at the Sawyer Building, where the protest ended, Wayne Allyn Root said the event aimed to send a message to government to reopen the Nevada economy. I thought it was an amazing event, an amazing 3 hours of radio, and congratulations to my buddy Wayne Allyn Root. War now, and taken to the streets. Now, over the weekend, big question: why hasn't the president held a coronavirus briefing, a task force briefing, over the course of the last couple of 3 days? And Friday's was, I think, down to about 25 minutes. There was none on Saturday. There was none on Sunday. And for all we know, there may not be one today. I don't know. But I found it interesting. Dr. Deborah Birx. And I want you to listen to how she tap dances around this question. She was on with Maria Bartiromo, Sunday Morning Futures. And listen to how she dances around the question of whether to resume these daily press briefings. This is cut one. Dr. Deborah Birx with Maria Bartiromo.
This week, the president tweeted this: what is the purpose of having White House news conferences when the lamestream media asks nothing but hostile questions and then refuses to report the truth or facts accurately? They get record ratings and the American people get nothing but fake news, not worth the time and effort. Are you going to stop these regular daily press briefings, Dr. Birx?
Well, I would say Dr. Fauci, Dr. Redfield, and I all come from a place where another disease was highly politicized. And when we were working on the front lines of HIV/AIDS, and we understood two things that were absolutely critical: communicating early scientific facts because communities can understand them, and it gives communities the ability to have knowledge to protect themselves, and that is really extraordinary. And then also communicate about what we're studying and what we're not studying and why, and those are in clinical trials and other evidence base. And anytime we hear hear about something that could be hopeful, to let the American people know that we're studying that, that we're not leaving any stone unturned, to really figure out what can really help the American people. But I think that communication to communities is essential, because a knowledgeable community is a protected community. And we know that's important, and I think we understand that those messages of science and policy need to continue to be brought forward to the American people in a non-political way.
So do you think that it's best to do the communicating when you have something new to communicate, or do you think you should be doing these press conferences every day, putting the president out there and fielding these questions in some regard that may not have anything to do with the science?
Well, every day we discover something new and important, and I think the American people should understand that we had no experience with this virus until a few weeks ago, anywhere in the world. And starting in January, different information started coming in, but not in a country like the United States. We are probably the most genetically diverse. We have the most different age groups that have not seen this virus before. We're a younger country than much of Europe. So our outcomes and our knowledge are going to be critical for all the countries moving forward. And we've really been delving into why do our younger people have a different course than we saw or have been reported in other countries? Is it a genetic issue? Is it the way we respond to the virus? Is it an antibody response to the virus? We're uncovering really important pieces. And I just want to acknowledge the healthcare workers that are in the front line who are getting this information back to us on an everyday basis.
Dr. Deborah Birx, yesterday on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo, want to give you a quick roadmap of what's ahead. We got a busy show today. Jovita Carranza, you know who Jovita Carranza is? She is the 26th administrator of the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. Many of you have solicited loans from the SBA. Some of them are loans that might ultimately become grants. Many of you, if you're like me, I applied for an SBA loan for my corporation, Battleborne Radio, and I haven't heard a peep from the SBA. So we'll find out what's going on there. Jovita Carranza, though, the 26th administrator of the SBA. Also, Victor Jakes will join us, as he does every Monday at 10 a.m. Scott Hammond will join us as well, state senator. And also Sam Peters. He is traversing Congressional District 4. And we're getting down to the sprint to the finish line. I'm really excited. I mean, there are some very, very good people that are running in this race. And this is going to be fascinating to see how this thing plays out. We'll talk with Sam. In fact, Sam was down at the Wayne's event on Friday. We'll see what he thought of it. I'll also get the view of Scott Hammond, state senator. Stick around. More to do as we continue live and local now.
Hi, this is Diamond and Silk. If you can see mountains in Nevada, listen to Kevin Wall on the Nevada Talk Network.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results. Radio is there no matter where.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results.
It's a well-known fact and a well-hidden secret that radio reaches more consumers and, more importantly, more consumers with disposable income than any other medium. If you want to invite nice people with money into your business like Sahara Motors, the Ely Chiropractic Clinic, and Taco Time have, then give us a call at 775-293-1875, 775-293-1875, or through Facebook at facebook.com/Nevada Talk Network. facebook.com/Nevada Talk Network. You have nothing to lose but a little bit of time. Let us know what's on your mind. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NevadaTalkNet, or visit our website, nvtalk.com.
My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other guy. Give me a look, though, okay?
Dizzy. I'm so dizzy. My head is spinning.
So good to have you with us. Let's see, Nancy Pelosi is endorsing Joe Biden today. Yeah, I know. Kind of scary, if you don't mind my saying so. This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year. Just $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and get this, $529 for the family. That's mom, dad, all the kids, $529. Call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY, or check it out yourself at libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. I know a lot of you who have either been furloughed or laid off are going to lose your health benefits on May 1. This would be a great opportunity to fill in that gap. 855-58-LIBERTY. Andrew Cuomo is the governor of the state of New York. I have called him Governor Gloom and Doom because it seems like all he does is bring us negative numbers, deaths, hospitalizations. Let's take you now to Albany, New York, where the governor just minutes ago began his news conference. This from Albany, New York, the state capital of New York State.
This is the total hospitalization rate, which you see is basically flat. Flat is not great, but flat may be a reaction to the weekend. Sunday discharges may be down. But we have the same question. How fast and how steady is the decline? We don't want to see flat. We want to see an increasing decline. And we want to see how fast that decline goes and how low does the decline go, right? When does that hospitalization rate get down to a truly manageable number? When does the incoming case number get down to a manageable number? You see, again, overall hospitalization rate is on the decline. Again, yesterday, a little less than we would like to see. But hopefully it was a Sunday anomaly because of the weekend. Intubations is down. Number of new cases, still 1,000 new COVID cases every day, puts it in perspective. Down a tad from where it was, But again, these weekend numbers sometimes are a little strange. Number of lives lost, 337, still tragically high, but on the decline, if you look at it over the past few days, not that that does any, gives any solace to 337 families who are suffering today. On testing, this has been a big topic, increasing testing. It's been a scramble for all the states. We're doing well on it. The testing tells you where we are, right? And whether the infection rate is going up or going down. We've now tested 7,500 people statewide. So that's a very significant number. And it gives us a snapshot of where we are. It's just a snapshot, but snapshot, snapshot, snapshot. You look at the different pictures and you have a movie at one point and you can track what is happening. So it's 7,500 people. The percent statewide that's positive is 14.9. When we tested 5 days ago, it was 13.9. 13.9 to 14.9, 1 point. Statistically, it's in the margin of error. I'd like to see the margin go the other way, but male, female, they both went up a point. Men are still more likely to have the virus than women by a couple of points. Whatever that bespeaks, I care not to speculate. These are the regional numbers in broad strokes. Long Island 14, New York City is up a couple of points. Westchester, Rockland is up a couple of points. The rest of the state is basically flat. This is the infection rate by region. People hear New York, they think New York City. Yes, we have New York City. We also have upstate New York, North Country, which is predominantly rural or suburban. And you see different situations across this state. This is not a homogenous state. So the Mohawk Valley, 2.6%, North Country, it's 1.2%. Capital District, 2.1%, Hudson Valley, 10%, but that has Westchester and Rockland in it. Central New York, 1.3%, Southern Tier, Finger Lakes, Western New York, 7.1%. Western New York is the high point upstate. Hudson Valley, again, has Westchester, Rockland. We had a significant problem in Westchester, less so in Rockland, so I think that would skew that number. But when you see 1.2% in the North Country, 2.6 Mohawk Valley, Capital District, you see a much different situation than you're looking at in New York City, where you're in the 20s, right? So different situations, different strategy going forward. We're coordinating as a state, we're coordinating with our neighboring states, but you still have to take into consideration the variations across the state, and that's what we're trying to navigate. By race, you see the percent for Asians has ticked up, African Americans actually down. Latinos went up 10%. Nobody can explain what caused that jump in this survey, and it's something we're going to watch, and we're doing more testing in lower-income communities and African-American and Latino communities, as we discussed. And the age breakdown is fairly consistent with where it was. So that's where we are today in New York. New York City, obviously, high point number of cases in the country, higher than some countries globally, and upstate New York, a very different reality. Big question is reopening, especially for those places with less of an issue to begin with, or places that have reduced their problems. And I get a lot of local officials who are calling me. We want to talk about reopening, reopening, reopening. Know what you are doing before you do it. Those are words to live by. I don't know who said it, but it is a true axiom. So we want to unpause. May 15th is when the pause regulations expire statewide. I will extend them in many parts of the state. But in some parts of the state, some regions, you could make the case that we should unpause on May 15th. But you have to be smart about it. We all have to be smart about it. As we said, there is no light switch where you flick a switch and everybody goes back to doing what they're doing. We have to take these circumstances into consideration. We have to learn the lessons. We have to move forward. And we have to be smart, because if you are not smart, you will see that infection rate go right back to where it was. We'll be right back to where we were 58 days ago, and nobody wants to do that.
There you have it. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, saying that you better have a plan before you begin the process of opening up. Maybe we need to find out what the plan of Governor Sisolak is. More people I talked to over the weekend, people that were at the protest down on Las Vegas Boulevard, there are people who are genuinely PO'd. By the way, coming up in our next half hour, Jovita Carranza, have you applied for one of those SBA loans? And if so, have you heard from the SBA yet, the Small Business Administration? I'll ask Jovita Carranza, now that they've passed the PPP and it's been signed into law by the president, is some of this money going to be rolling out to help small businesses? We'll talk about that and more coming up live and local now. Where Nevada comes to talk, making radio great again.
There is good news. We will recover. We will thrive if we act now. I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a 20-year military veteran and a successful business owner. I know how to balance a budget, secure a border, and help President Trump revive our economy. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. Join SamPetersForCongress.com. Remember, Sam Peters, the number 4, Congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
It's a tough time, but we will get through this together. If you have the means, we encourage you to participate in the gift card challenge. That's a simple thing you can do to help people around you. Just buy a gift card from one of your favorite local businesses, then use it when things get back to normal. Or be a rock star and give it to someone working on the front lines to keep us safe. Either way, when you buy the gift card, post a photo on social media with hashtag GiftCardChallenge. Learn more at GiftCardChallenge.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Not unexpected, but now it's official. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is endorsing fellow Democrat and former Vice President Joe Biden for the Democratic presidential nomination.
Now more than ever, we need a forward-looking, battle-tested leader who will fight for the people. A president with the values, experience, and the strategic thinking to bring our nation together and build a better, fairer world for our children.
That from a video Pelosi posted online today. It's a big day for folks in several states that are going to start reopening today despite the continuing outbreak of coronavirus. Restaurants across Georgia are now cleared for in-person dining as long as they do adhere to strict guidelines. And there are several other states that are loosening their restrictions as well. This is USA Radio News.
Money! 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 Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do you do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315, 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315, 800-634-1315, 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
A virtual photo finish, and one driver announces his return. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today, Midday.
For more than 80 years, Detroit Diesel has been the legendary driving force powering Freightliner and Western Star trucks across North America. Through our state-of-the-art Detroit technologies and components and safety systems, we've earned our customers' trust as a reliable business partner dedicated to improving their bottom line. It's no wonder they continue to depend on Detroit to keep them safe and efficient on the road. When you demand it all, demand Detroit.
Wing Sprint Cars. That's what we talk about on Wing Nation, presented by Hercules Tire. I'm Steve Post. Join Aaron Everham and me Tuesdays at noon Eastern Time as we talk with race winners and newsmakers from dirt tracks across America. From the world of outlaws to your local track, we cover the greatest show on dirt. Join us live Tuesday on Facebook Live or WingNation.com, or catch our Tuesday and Thursday podcasts on YouTube or your favorite podcast provider. Wing Nation, your home for Wing Sprint Car Talk.
Hendrick Motorsports driver Alex Bowman won yesterday's Geico 70 eNASCAR Pro Invitational race at the virtual Talladega Super Speedway. In a photo finish over Corey LaJoie and Ryan Preece, who aided Bowman to the win.
Right place, right time. So just really got to thank Preece for pushing me, because that's what made the difference at that point. When you're that lead car, it's really the guy behind you making the difference.
And before yesterday's race, Roush Fenway Racing driver Ryan Newman announced that he will be ready to return to the seat when racing resumes. He missed the three West Coast events while recovering from injuries suffered in a last-lap crash in the Daytona 500. See more at MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today Midday on the Motor Racing Network.
Let us know what's on your mind. Email NevadaTalkNet@gmail.com or call 775-293-1875.
I just love the meme that my buddy Wyatt just sent me. It's a picture of Kim Jong-un on the phone. And the graphic is, so I just drink the Lysol, and then you see below that the president in the Oval saying, yep. I just love that. Thank you. As you know, I love real water. And I wanted to do something for you, for our loyal listeners, that would allow you to get real water delivered right to your front door, okay? But at a savings, a substantial savings. So here's the deal. Go to Amazon. Search Real Water. It's the blue rectangular bottle that says Real Water. Add it to your cart, and when you proceed to checkout, there'll be a coupon section. Put in 10WALL. That's the number 10, WALL, W-A-L-L, all caps, no space, and they'll give you a 10% discount. It just doesn't get much better than that. Great tasting real water, with its beneficial properties delivered right to your door. I know you'll love it. Trust me, you will taste and feel this difference. For many of us, the coronavirus is kind of an exercise. It doesn't really, I mean, for instance, I don't know of anybody that's tested positive. I know of nobody. But it's weird. Brooke Baldwin is returning to work at CNN today after being out for, I think, a couple of weeks. And with the coronavirus. And she beat the Corona 19 virus. And I want you to hear in her own words what this experience was like. She was on yesterday with Brian Stelter on CNN. Here it is.
I feel like I was one of the lucky ones. You know, the COVID for me did not take a suffocating hold on my lungs. So I didn't have to add to the stress of the doctors and nurses in these hospitals by having to go in. And certainly, as I've heard from so many people on Instagram, you know, their loved ones being on ventilators. That said, it was like going to hell and back, and it could have been much worse. For me, it was 2 solid weeks of just feeling like crap, and then the final week waiting before I was fully cleared of the virus to be able to return to work tomorrow. Everything, Brian, from just really severe body aches, you know, to the point that I wept a lot at night. It was this creepy, eerie melancholy that would seep in every night. And, you know, I'm a glass half full, chemically blessed kind of gal. So all of these tears for me weren't natural, but it took its toll on me, I think, psychologically in addition to physically. And just when you think you're getting better right after the first maybe week, and I thought, all right, I'm maybe seeing the end of this. Day 9, day 10 were the worst days. Worst fever spike, worst chills. It was awful.
Do you think you'll approach your anchor job any differently now that you're on the other side and you're part of this army of survivors?
It's such a great question. Of course I will. You know, I am one of those lucky, not lucky in the sense that I got COVID-19, but that I have been able to recover like thousands have in this country. And so many thousands other are worried. So many thousands others have loved ones who are in hospitals. How can I not approach it differently? You know, I think when I talk to family members who have loved ones who are suffering, how can I not understand it and have that empathy a bit more than another journalist who is fortunate enough not to get it? How can I not, when I'm talking to doctors, you know, trying to understand why aren't there more FDA-approved antibody tests? I was reading a piece in the Times this weekend saying that out of like 14 tests, only 3 had fairly accurate results. Why is that? You know, and I'll ask doctors about plasma donation. I want to give my blood to people to be able to help others who get sick. Is, you know, so hopefully viewers who'll be watching will understand that I have such a stake in this, just like so many, you know, hundreds of thousands of other people.
That's Brooke Baldwin, anchor for CNN. She's coming back to work today, believe it or not. I think she starts at 10 o'clock. But she is coming back from the coronavirus. She was hole up for something like, what, 2 weeks, 2+ weeks she's been off the air. But she apparently has beaten it, and she is none the worse for wear. Good for her. Congratulations. Coming up, have you applied for an SBA loan? Did you get your money? Did you get an advance? Did you get the loan? Yovita Carranza is the 26th administrator of the SBA, the Small Business Administration. We'll talk with her coming up next, live and local, now.
Where Nevada comes to talk, making radio great again. The official radio stations of the Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm Byron Bergeron, and I'm a lawyer. Now, I know that people don't like lawyers, but think of it like this. I'm here to level the playing field so you get a fair shake. Let me give you an example. You get into a wreck. Your insurance company wants you to think it represents you and its priority is your best interest. You know, good hands. The truth is, its priority is its checkbook and its shareholders. If it's to their advantage, they will throw you under the bus so fast, you'll think the mayhem guy in the TV commercial is driving. I have only one client, you. And I can keep these companies in line because I have only one shareholder to answer to, me. I answer my own phone. I return my own phone calls. And other than my wife and 2 babies, the most important people in the world are my clients. 775-229-3736. 775-229-3736. When you need the field leveled so you can get a fair shake, call me.
Attention business owners. Are you struggling while waiting for your customers to pay on their net 30, 60, or 90-day invoices? Can't get a business loan? Have no equity? Bad credit? Or maybe no credit at all? Then you need to call AmeriFactors right now. AmeriFactors will give you cash for your invoices and there's nothing to pay back. We simply buy your account receivables, and if those clients don't pay on the invoices, we take the loss. We give you funds based on your account receivables, not your credit. And 98% of all applicants are approved. It's that simple. With AmeriFactors, there's no more waiting for your customers to pay. We give you the funds up front, then we wait for your customers to pay us. Fund your business today. Call AmeriFactors right now.
800-712-8087. 800-712-8087. 800-712-8087. That's 800-712-8087.
Thanks for listening to Nevada Talk Network, where Nevada comes to talk. Our programming originates from the beautiful Georgetown Ranch in Ely, Nevada, over KELY AM 1230. For over 70 years, the news source for White Pine County. In Sparks, Reno, and Carson City, you're listening to KNNR 1400 AM. In Battle Mountain, you're listening to KNNT 98.5 FM. In Hawthorne, Nevada, you're hearing us on KAVB 98.7 FM. In Fallon, you're listening to KNVR 102.5 FM. In the Amargosa Valley, you're hearing us over KPKK 101.1 FM. And in Pahrump, you're listening to us on KPVM Television, channel 25.6. Thanks for listening to the Nevada Talk Network, where Nevada comes to talk.
For years now, you've heard me talking about Real Water. Hey, Kevin Wall here. I just can't get over the clean, smooth taste and how great it makes me feel. I won't drink anything else. But there's more than just great taste to Real Water. There's real science behind why it's so good. It's infused with negative ions, which basically means it has a bunch of extra electrons. You see, those negative ions help you hydrate on a cellular level and provide a powerful antioxidant effect. I told my friends Brent and Amy, the owners of Real Water, that I wanted to offer my listeners a special on Real Water, and they agreed. So here's the deal. Go to Amazon and search Real Water. It's the blue rectangular bottle that says Real Water. Add it to your cart, and when you proceed to checkout, there'll be a coupon section. Put in 10WALL. That's the number 10WALL, all caps, no spaces, and you'll receive a 10% discount. It doesn't get much better than that. Great tasting Real Water with all its beneficial properties delivered right to your door. I know you'll love it. Trust me, you will taste and feel this difference.
Let us know what's on your mind. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NevadaTalkNet, or visit our website, nvtalk.com.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it is live and local now. If you're like me, you applied for an SBA loan for your small business. I have a small business. It's called Battle Born Radio Corp. The SBA rolling out multiple programs to help small businesses. We just had the PPP approved by Congress and signed into law by the President of the United States. Jovita Carranza is the 26th administrator of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and she joins us from our nation's capital. Administrator Carranza, first of all, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. Talk a little bit about the president's signing of the PPP and what it's going to mean to small businesses.
Well, Kevin, thank you very much for inviting me to be on your show and then talk about the historical precedents that the president has established in putting small businesses front and center. And that particular day where he signed off a $310 billion for the PPP program was really spectacular because, as you indicated, that was the second level of stimulus for small businesses. So we have like millions of businesses applying for loans, whether it's the Paycheck Protection Program or there's the disaster, also IDLE, and there's the grants. But each one of those programs provides some very strong benefits for small businesses, which we are definitely engaged in providing and partnering with the banks to provide funds for them.
I want to ask you about the first tranche of money went in. Somebody told me 13 days. Is that right, or is there a different number that you guys ran out of money like real quick? And I'm wondering if that's not a testament to the fact that this is a very popular program.
Well, Kevin, what that expresses is the real need of the small business community and the protection of their employees. As you indicated, the first round of PPP, the SBA approved over 1.6 million loans, which represents not only 1.6 million small businesses, but the families and the contributions that they provide to their community. You know, they do represent half of the GDP, approximately $10 to $11 trillion in revenues and contributions. And they also represent about 48% of all the employees in the United States. So it was of significant value when the president signed off that second round of PPP program. Both the president and Congress came together and realized the need for our small business community.
Now, one of the criticisms of the early program was the fact that a lot of the money went to large corporations, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, Harvard University. They have like a $4 billion endowment, something like that. How will this latest tranche of money be doled out differently? And how do you prevent folks like Harvard and Ruth's Chris and others, big corporations, from getting all the money?
You know, Kevin, the application had certain stipulations, and as long as they complied with them, they were eligible. However, Treasury and SBA have issued new guidance, and it's making it clear that these particular funds are not intended for public companies, and a lot of those loans, many of those loans, if not all, have been canceled, and of course, the funds have been reinstated into the particular funds so that we can make those funds available for small businesses. So the public companies did the right thing. They declined. We declined their loans. They also withdrew their loans. And at this point, we are also explicitly prohibiting hedge funds and private equity-owned firms from applying for PPP funds. So we're all, between Treasury and SBA, we're very very adamant about who should be applying, which is really designed for small businesses and the protection of their payroll, and also to re-engage their employees and open up their doors to continue contributing to this great economy.
Again, Jovita Carranza, the 26th administrator of the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA, joining us. One of the things, and again, I applied for an SBA, the IDLE, I believe they call it, loan. And one of the things that impressed me is it was like 8 questions, 10 questions. It took me about 12 minutes to do. That's not what we normally expect from government. How did you come up with something so simple?
Not only the IDLE, but also the PPP, we looked at ways of facilitating the application process. Now, remember, Kevin, when every governor declared their state a disaster, within a week's time, we processed over 50 states and their territories. And as a result of that, we realized such a heavy influx. Right now, we have about 4.5 million applications in the IDLE program, and we're processing them on a daily basis. We've already gone through about $7 billion in the loan processing, and about close to about $7 billion in the area of the grants. And so while PPP has proven successful, we are still working the IDLE disaster. We call it the IDLE COVID loans and the IDLE COVID grants.
Is there still time for somebody to access funds from the PPP, or has that window closed?
Kevin, we are still open for business. The businesses, I should say, the banks of every size and every community are engaging. We have over 6,000 lending institutions. We actually increased the new lenders by little over 600 of them. So not only what we call the delegated lenders, but we also have CDFIs, and they're growing by the day.
There's and a CDFI, CDFI, you better translate for those of us that are a little yes. New to government.
Well, because they're community development depository institutions, they also, they're financial institutions, and they provide the community with microloans, you know, the lower level loans, about $25,000, $30,000, even $10,000 loans. And so we're increasing those numbers of CDFIs that are going to be eligible to provide loans for their communities. And we also are now accepting, or will be accepting later this week, applications for the eligible agricultural concerns.
One of the things that I've been amazed at, and by the way, Jovita Carranza is joining us, the 26th administrator for the SBA, the Small Business Administration, is that you folks have been able to adjust on the fly. In fact, I was on with one of your very, very helpful customer service agents, and even during the phone call, all of a sudden, we learned that the requirement of 3 years back tax returns was being waived and that they didn't need that. You folks have really been adjusting on the fly. Can you explain how a government entity does that?
Well, Kevin, it's a long story. However, I can share with you, because you emphasized it, we did 14 years worth of loan volume in 14 days. And not on the fly, but because we get a lot of input and we're very responsive to the senators and congressmen that call us. The Small Business Committee has been very much engaged. The Treasury, it's like such a collaborative approach to making sure that we reinvigorate the small business community. Senator Rosen, about 2 weeks ago, called me and said, how about the gaming small businesses? You got to do something for the local market. And so, not on the fly, but with a lot of due diligence, but expediently, we are now providing small business PPP loans for these small gaming businesses in Nevada.
If the first tranche of money went out in about 13 days, what is your guesstimate on how long there will be money in the kitty for small businesses in this second PPP tranche?
Well, Kevin, what our statistics indicate right now is that there are a lot of smaller loans being processed by the banks. So we'll have a higher amount of loans being processed, but for lower levels, which means that they're really truly reaching out and providing opportunities with a particular focus on ensuring that the socially and economically disadvantaged businesses have access to these critical funds. So I'm really motivated and encouraged by the banks on how they're providing these funds, and also motivated by the fact that Congress is keeping tabs of how this money is being spent and how quickly. It's a great need out there in the market, and so we're trying to be as responsive and critical about how we provide these funds to our community.
In our final couple of minutes, do you have a feel for how many jobs this will save, how many people that maybe were just furloughed will get back on the job through the PPP?
Yes, we're still scrubbing some of the data, but some of the numbers that you may have heard, Kevin, are about 30 million jobs. We have self-proprietors that are able to apply for PPP. We have self-employed individuals that are now applying for PPP. So the necessary adjustments are being made so that no small business is left behind, and employees are now going to be able to have gainful employment. You know, unemployment benefits are good for the short term, but not the long term. And so I hope that these employees are able to go back to their employers and, again, start contributing to this strong economy that we once had and that I know we will have in short order.
Jovita, in our final minute, I've got to ask you again, just to repeat, if there is somebody with a small business, somebody that needs the help, how do they begin the process and what's the procedure?
Very simple. They go to the website sba.gov, and there'll be a listing of funding options for them. So we still have opportunities for them to consider various programs that we have within our SBA.gov website.
I've got to tell you, I've dealt a lot with your customer service people. They have been first rate. You say, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be dealing with the government here. Oh, I'm scared. And they were very friendly and very helpful. So I hope you will pass the word on to your colleagues. They have done a really nice job of communicating with the customer base.
Kevin, that means so much because we can intake about 165,000 calls a day. We have about 25,000 to 45,000 emails a day. And we've ramped up our resources so we can have timely responses. We sometimes can miss the mark, but our mission and our passion and our commitment is to the small business, and we try to recover as quickly as we can. Kevin, thank you for sharing that, and I look forward to coming back on your show.
Thank you, Jovita. I appreciate it. That's Jovita Carranza, the 26th administrator of the U.S. Small Business Administration, joining us from our nation's capital. And again, it's an ongoing program, and supposedly there will be money available if you want to access some of these funds. They are to help you keep payroll going, and that is so vitally important. Coming up, Victor Jakes, Las Vegas Review-Journal, three-time-a-week columnist. What did he think of Wayne Allyn Root's rally, parade, whatever you want to call it? It was a phenomenal event and touched a lot of people. Over 2,000 people showed up for this amazing event down Las Vegas Boulevard. I thought it was an amazing event, an amazing radio event. It was really, really good. Also, State Senator Scott Hammond, who's on his tele-town hall tonight. He does these every week, which is really very, very cool. State Senator Scott Hammond will join us. Also, a little bit later on, Sam Peters. He is running for Congress in CD4. It is a huge district. A huge district. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now.
Banks it ahead to himself.
Marchessault comes into the zone, feeds it left.
And a shot!
Score! Riley Smith!
Vegas wins in overtime!
Marchessault to Smith!
Vegas wins it! What a setup!
We've seen it before! We see it again!
The Vegas Golden Knights.
Our town, our team!